Tuesday the 12th of March, and this is a special International Women's Day podcast. You are listening to The Cat's Whiskers. Let's go, girls. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever it is you happen to be listening. Yes, you heard correctly. This is a special International Women's Day podcast, albeit a few days late, but, you know, we've all got lives. So essentially what's happening here is I've given Ant and Adam the night off. Just so nobody gets the knickers in a twist. Unfortunately, we've missed International Men's Day this season, but very happily I'm going to step aside next season. I believe it's November sometime, and the boys are, you know, going to take the opportunity to grab a similar amount of people from around our Bunkers Hill table to have a good old chinwag about the hockey. So around the table with me tonight, my mates. So we've got Zara.
Hello.
We've got Sara.
Hello.
We've got Beck.
Hello.
And we've got Becky.
Howdy's.
And we've got Gemma.
Hey, hey.
In fact, Gemma is the reason we're actually doing this, because some months ago, or some weeks, I forget how long, because Beer was involved and we were in Bunkers, and Gemma just sort of said, can we do an International Women's Day podcast? And I couldn't think of a good reason to say no, so here we are. So then, ladies, what's going to happen here is I'm giving you carte blanche to talk about whatever you like, because you're obviously not podcast regulars. You know, myself, Ant and Adam have talked about the topical stuff that goes on throughout the season. And also, we're probably going to be podcasting in Dundee, so I don't want to mess with the natural order of things. But it would be lovely to get some opinions from you ladies about the Panthers, the Elite League, the season, how it's gone, anything at all. So I do happen to know that Zara has done some homework. So we're gonna let you kick off. So Zara, what's first on Zara's notes?
I happen to have wrote a few things down. I panicked because Tina kept going on about bring your homework, and I'm such a nerd, and no one else has brought their homework, but I have. So the first thing, and it's funny, Tina, we were talking about it when we went for dinner, just when we were waiting for Becky, and we were talking about our Brit pack.
Yes.
And I think that is a really good topic to talk about, especially with obviously GB games and how we, you know, GB have played recently, and a few of us are actually going to Prague in May. I just want to talk about our Brit pack and how important they are to our team this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one of the first things to say is, you know, we're expecting Betteridge to start tonight after a lengthy absence, and we've missed him, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely missed him. I think, obviously, sometimes he's a bit more physical. He just brings an energy to the team. And obviously, the other guys look up to him as well.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. So, yeah, we've definitely missed him. I think one of the other important points to make is that we were very lucky to have picked Joe Hazeldine up partway through the season. With us having all of the Brits back healthy now, that obviously, you know, spells a bit of trouble for Mackenzie, who is not in the lineup tonight, who possibly could have been, unfortunately, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think we're forced to concede that Hazeldine, you know, he's got the experience and he's the better player for the Panthers right at this moment.
Mackenzie's not been given that chance to prove himself. His ice time has pretty much been non-existent. Yep. So it swings and roundabouts, really.
Yeah, most definitely. So I think one of the other things, I'm not going to come back to you just yet, Zara, because I want to get everybody from around the table. So Jordan Kelsall, so one of the things that Zara said while we were having dinner earlier was that Jordan Kelsall does not get talked about enough.
Yeah, go on.
So underrated. And I just don't think he gets enough credit for what he brings and what he does. And it's just such a pleasure to watch. Like, yeah. We went up to Dundee and I was like, I'm not even bothered about our game, Jordan. I've just come to see you because I think you're amazing. And
yeah, when I was playing in Dundee, and it was really good because when we were in Dundee, the fans were like, he's just absolutely brilliant. And I think it made us as Panthers fans, well, the Panthers fans as a whole, appreciate him more when he came back than him having that time away. And I also think that he had a lot of time in Dundee to sort of develop his own game instead of just following the rest of them that was happening in Nottingham.
Well, one of the interesting things about and anybody who listens to the podcast usually will know how much of a fan I am of the Brits, and I want to see them develop and do well and everything. But it's an interesting, I don't know what the word is, but it's an interesting situation where you're talking about Jordan Kelso being developed, and developing his game up in Dundee. I feel like that was probably the reason for Archie Hazeldine and Jack Hopkins going to Coventry. But I don't think that they've had, a similar opportunity, I suppose.
I agree with that. And I think it's the same with Joe Hazeldine as well. He went to Manchester and did phenomenal things for Manchester. And yeah, Kelso did exactly the same thing for Dundee. And I think Lacko did it previously when I think he was with Manchester Phoenix back then, yeah. I think. So it definitely does help. And you're right, I don't feel like for Jack and Archie the same thing's happening, but I have every confidence that they will progress, and I do think that we've got a really good Brit core, but it's just that a lot of our Brits aren't in the GB squad, and the GB squad is actually quite difficult to get into now because you can have dual players. But I'm really proud of the Brits, and they have stepped up. Jordan Kelso stepped up massively with Ollie out injured, and Hazeldine stepped up, and I think after this season they've done a phenomenal job for us.
Yeah, well, one other name that we haven't talked about, which Gemma's just been sort of flashing in front of us, and Sarah's been flashing. No, not literally flashing, but it's not that type of podcast. So we are currently missing somebody who was absolutely on fire, Logan Nielsen, and that's made a massive difference. I mean, obviously tonight it looks like we're going to run with 5D and roll that particular dice. So, Beck. Logan Nielsen, he's been really good, and it was almost like somebody switched him on. It was like a light bulb that happened.
Totally, he's just got injured at totally the wrong time for him. Really, he's just started showing the goals and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's going to make a big difference to the team not having him. Really, yeah.
I mean, selfishly, maybe that will kind of play into the Panthers' hands, because he was looking like he was going to be too good to stay. We've obviously now got half an eye on the end of the season. We're getting to the business end, and half an eye is probably on what's going to happen in the summer, who we're going to be able to keep, and what the Elite League is going to do with the import roster, perhaps.
And that's actually quite funny, because the next thing I've put on my little notes.
Oh, hello, hello.
It's like Tina's just read my homework. Cheat!
I'm no cheat.
No, it's fair. That's Sarah. Is who do we want to keep next season? Because we are coming up to that point of the season now where we want to start thinking. Don't get me wrong, I think the team has done phenomenal under the circumstances, and we have a lot of great players, but I do think we need to make some tweaks. So it's quite interesting. I've seen a lot of things on social media recently about keeping the whole team. I don't think we should keep the whole team, because there's certain things that we do need to amend, and I think it's quite a good conversation to have that now.
Okay, so let's limit it slightly then. So perhaps, from your own personal perspectives, ladies, one import and one Brit that you think are the most important to keep. So Gemma, I'm going to come to you first. Oh, hello, hang on.
I'm like...
It is a difficult question. I put Gemma on the spot, but has anybody else got thoughts first? So we can come back to you. Yeah, Zara, go on.
I think for me, I mean, I absolutely I love a lot of the forwards, but for me, I think Wah, because he is Mr. Consistent and he finds the back of the net. And I think we've missed that since, I don't know, pre-COVID with Sam Hare, who is the kind of guy who was hitting the back of the net. We haven't really had that for a while, but Wah provides that. So I think he is actually key to retaining. And then in terms of the Brits, that's a tricky question, I'm not going to lie. But I do think Jordan Castle for me, because he is Mr. Reliable, but he's also very useful in the two-way play that he does, and it's quite a useful weapon, I think. And also the fight and passion that that lad has, you can always count on him to have a bit of a, you know, and he's one of our own, as you know, he's from Nottingham. Come on.
He's one of our own, right. So, Gemma, any thoughts yet? Am I coming back to you yet?
My Brit would definitely be Castle. Because again, Mr. Consistent, like, is always there. Can play D, can play forward. Kind of, what else would you want in somebody? But the nice person in me wants to say, because it surprised me the most, Caruso. Don't know where he's come from this season.
It's almost like when he got given the C, It was an extra step up, wasn't it?
And he's there, and I just think quite good. Like, you don't really notice him, but sometimes actually that goes a long way with the captain. The other side of me is the new guy whose name I've randomly called
Luciani
all of a sudden, just because he reminds me of David Ling, and I think I like that character that you bring, and you cheer the fans up. And
Very much so. Well, I think he's been a bit quiet now he's settled in, but certainly his first game he was a spark plug, most definitely.
I think the thing is with him, and you see it quite a lot, like on these social media posts that are coming out, he's obviously having a good impact on the team as a whole. So whether that was just another dynamic that needed to be added after the events of last year, that we just needed to have somebody a bit fun, you know, him and Luca just seem to be causing a bit of chaos and humour on the team.
Yeah, Luca Sheldon's a good character. He's a good face of the media, isn't he? Because he does.
It is a cob. He is absolutely right.
It is a cob. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yes, yeah. We stand with Luca.
Oh, I forgot about this. No, sorry.
It's a bread cake.
Oh no, sorry.
Don't. It's a circle of bread, i.e. a cob.
Yeah, don't let Sara's accent and roots fool you. She is a Panthers fan. I promise she is a Panthers fan. We've not brought in a ringer. She's absolutely 100% a Panthers fan. Right, sorry, Beck. So, let's come to you next.
Looking at like the Brit pack, I'd really like to see Tetlow come back, just because we were very excited about him coming back, but injury has just left him not being able to play. And I think it'd be great to bring him back next year, just to see what he can actually do. Import wise, it's a difficult one for me. Can it be because of personality rather than skill?
It can be for whatever reason you feel is appropriate.
Obviously, my family love Carneal, and we would just love to see him return, kind of thing. For me, Carneal, it would be a great addition.
That's the thing, if you want to keep him, that man never steps off that ice.
Apart from now when he's injured, yeah. Yeah, but apart from now, bless him. Well, to be fair, I think he's earned he's earned a rest. The bloke has earned a rest. Becky, come on.
I'd probably agree with everyone else with Council.
Yeah.
So I won't go any more into that. Import, again, Luciani was up there, but now I'm going to think about it. I know he's been injured for a bit of the season, but Welsh, I think he's been a proper workhorse this season. When he has played, he's got real stuck in. He's just been all over that ice, and I think he's one that, I say, take the injury. I'd like to see what he's got full potential wise next season.
Because I mean, I think it's fair to say at this point, most of the team probably that have not hit their full potential because of everything that's gone on. But now we're starting to see the team that we potentially were promised, you know, and it's great, you know. It's just a shame it's come so, you know, so late in the season. So, Sara, coming to you.
So you're going to make me say his name, and I'm probably going to say it wrong, but Nieminen. I think he's paired up with someone I think has got the potential to be absolutely huge. And like you've just said, we've seen snippets of what that could look like, and he has been a really good goal scorer for us. So I'll take that. And Brit wise, I'm going to be Hazeldine. I love him. He's steady. He's steady away, and he's just grown no end.
Most definitely. So I will put my two penny worth into this discussion pot. So I'm very glad that Beck brought up Tetlow, and because up to this point none of us had mentioned him, we'd not talked about him, but I think he deserves to be talked about, because I think you know, again, a broken arm is it's no joke. I mean, I was up in Dundee when that happened, and at the time it looked awful. So it's great to see him back, because I think in last year's GB games it was obvious, you know, how much his skating had developed, especially and I think he's learnt a bit better how to deal with his own frame, you know, how to be in his own skin. So in terms of who I would most want to keep, I am terribly, terribly torn between the two defencemen. I'm terribly torn between the two of them, because Hazeldine has been a fantastic addition, but, you know, Tetlow's another one of those Mr. Steadies. You know, when he's not busy breaking his arm, you know, even before he went off to, you know, to Europe, he was still doing really well. And I've appreciated watching him ever since he came to Panthers in the first place. So, yeah, I really like him.
And the other thing as well is he's not shied away since he's come back from that broken arm. He came back first game in and he's like, yeah, I'm here, I'm back.
Well, yeah, and the way he was in Cardiff, I mean, getting proper stuck in there. You can always count on Tetlow to get stuck in.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, go on, say again.
I say, it was an unfair fight in Cardiff. He was being held from behind
I'm glad I'm not the only one who saw that. That was horrible.
While being held, that's, not on. So, but he still get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course he did. So, and I think my import, and this is another one who's almost had a bit of a light bulb. You know, the beginning of the season versus now, I think he's grown so much, and his play is just it's just so much better. It's Miles McGurty.
Oh yes.
I think he had a belting game last Wednesday against Guildford. I thought he was brilliant, and he's really, and was it you earlier, Jamie? You were saying because he surprised you. Somebody who surprised you. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about McGurty at the moment. Because earlier in the season he was taking a lot of unnecessary penalties, but he seems to have kind of settled and wised up to that, and he's really grown into the season. So I think he would be my one to watch personally.
Do you think a lot of that has been down to the fact that it was such a new team that were put together, and just literally, like I say, wisening up to the way that things work in the Elite League, the way that the referees, and also how different referees see things from different perspectives?
Yeah, well, I suppose when very diplomatic, I like that. I think one of the things, when you do come into a new league, there are a lot of things you have to feel out, and refereeing is certainly amongst that conversation.
It's got to be. It's the Elite League.
Yeah. There's always something controversial going on that involves refereeing, isn't there? That just seems to be a thing. So at this point, I think I'd like to return to Zara's notes. Hey, look, you did some homework. It's worth rewarding your efforts. I'm really chuffed. I'm really pleased.
Oh, great! Like gold star for me. Woohoo! Well, it's funny. I think it's what you said about, I think it leads on nicely to the next thing that I've got on my list, is about the playoff hunt. Yep. Because it's right. You said that there's a lot of players now that are coming into their own, and we're seeing it. And actually, it's made it very, very exciting going into. I mean, I'm nervous for tonight's game. Yeah. I am nervous. Shane Owen on a Tuesday night is what worries me, if I'm being honest. Traumatised from having 72 shots and not winning, you know, previously. But, I think there's a lot of players that have now turned it on that has made this very interesting. I mean, I would have preferred us to have obviously hit form a bit earlier in the season, but it didn't happen, and that's understandable. So now we're in a very... I'm excited by what's happening at the bottom of the league. I'm not going to lie. So I think that's a really good topic to discuss. What do we think?
Well, it's interesting you say the phraseology that you've just used there. It's exciting at the bottom of the league, because the top of the league, I mean, what is there to talk about? Sheffield are going to win the league. Cardiff are probably going to be second. Belfast are probably going to be third. And then from then on, it's a bit of a dogfight for, you know, one or two places here and there. But for us Fife, Dundee, and to a certain extent the Clan, you know, we're all fighting for those last spots now. So, yeah, every game, oh God, ding, ding, here's the first cliche. Every game's a playoff game for us right now. So, sorry, you were looking quite... You were gesturing wildly while you were finishing your dinner.
What I was thinking to myself is, it's strange to be in the situation where actually the fans that you talk to are really behind us making the playoffs, and that never happens. There's always some, like, let's just watch Panthers fail. This year, there's not. They actually genuinely want us to make it.
I definitely think you're right, though, because I just feel that in seasons gone by, it's always been about Panthers not getting to the playoffs and not being at the weekends, where this season, it just feels across the league that people actually genuinely want us to get there.
We're like the England of the Six Nations sometimes, aren't we? Nobody wants us to be anywhere near any part of the top of the table, you know. So
the playoffs, that's what the problem is this time, taking out everything that's happened, is if we make it as it is, let's say, you know, we happen to get eighth, we'll be playing Sheffield. Let's all be realistic. That does not look promising, does it?
It doesn't look promising, but I mean, stranger things have happened. Coventry beat Sheffield from eighth. And, you know, it's... And I know it's not... I accept what you're saying. It's unlikely. Go on, sorry.
I was just about to say, playoff hockey is a different type of hockey. Completely different beast. Yeah, totally.
I mean, I got asked to go on Radio Nottingham one year, just prior to playoffs. It's just because Chris Ellis has got my number and I'm a woman, so, you know, sometimes it's nice to not have a bloke doing everything, you know. So... Yeah, I went to it. It was just a brief thing. I popped into Saltbox. I was there for all of about 2 minutes, and then I left again. I came back to the pub. But one of the questions was, you know, it was along the lines of, you know, Panthers are not the favourites. And I said, yeah, but it's playoffs. You know, whatever's happened during the season, you draw a line under it, and you know, that's it. You know.
I agree with Dr. Zara saying, like, today I've been quite nervous about this game, because I think with obviously what's happened this season, like we were saying earlier, it just resounded that we weren't going to make it. Like, our form's been terrible, and it was just like, yeah, it ain't going to happen. But now there's that little bit of hope, and say we said earlier, it's hope that kills you.
We've said that more than once tonight, haven't we? Already off podcast.
And one thing I think is really great about the league the past few years is that actually the days of gone now where the bottom of the league five, or obviously years ago used to be Edinburgh or Basingstoke Bison, where they were the whipping boys and you could guarantee you'll be able to pick up points. Oh my god, you can't do that now. With Fife, with Dundee, with Glasgow, with anyone there, they're all picking up points. And we're getting really frustrated as Panthers fans because all the results are going against us. But also I sit there and I think, fair play to Fife beating all these teams around them to really try and get to the playoffs themselves. Like, it's made it quite a fantastic end to the season. So get there or not get there, we can be really proud, and we've got something to fight for, which is really great.
Yeah, well, I think one interesting thing to know from that conversation, Fife have had a massive change, because for the first time in what feels like forever, they're not being coached by Todd Dutian. You know, they've got Tom Coolan, and I hope they keep him because he's entertaining. He seems to, you know, he's got good hockey IQ, good experience, and he's been good for that fan base. Their attendances are up. You know, their results have been, you know, obviously a bit, you know, patchy like ours, but I think the general sense I get is that it's people want to start going to the hockey in Kirkcaldy again. So. Yeah, and obviously they're not the only team, but, you know, we've had big changes. We've had, you know, sweeping change of coaching staff, Rick Strachan accepted, you know. But, and it's been, you know, I mean, Rick Strachan, bless him, he is going to be like... Rick Strachan... If anybody's ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean, he is Bill Turner. He's part of the ship, part of the crew, you know.
I can't believe we've gone. I mean, how long has it been? Like half an hour. We've not even mentioned Kevin Moore.
I mean,
when we're on about who was amazing, who I was toying with Kevin.
Yeah. Well, look, I was not going to let this podcast go with it, because I mean, you know, we made up a song for him when we went to Manchester.
Tina made up the song.
And the dance.
I don't remember there being a dance.
There was definitely a dance.
There was a dance, for sure.
I don't think it was a very coordinated dance, that's for sure. But, I mean, one thing I will say is that, you know, Kevin Moore would have been recruited by Jonathan Paraday. You don't just recruit a coach, an assistant coach, from nothing. So he's obviously... you know, they work very well. They seem to work very well together. The whole coaching staff does. I mean, I'm not taking Rick Strachan out of our conversation. But I think purely for reasons of language, I think Kevin Moore has obviously stood out to everybody. I get the sense from Jonathan Paraday that he would be just as eloquent, but he's obviously not as skilled in English. I mean, he's French, for God's sake. You know, I mean, how many of us here speak a second language fluently? I mean, I've been learning Spanish for 2 years and I've got no idea. There was a Spanish guy in here a few weeks ago when we played the Giants. You know, somebody that we know brought a Spanish friend, and I forgot everything I've been learning for 2 years. So, you know, I really do honestly get the sense that Paraday has the equivalent eloquence to Kevin Moore in French. But obviously, because we are English, we are in England, we speak English, Kevin Moore is the one who stood out. But he said some very poignant things at the right time. You know, he was the guy who went out with Omar to Adam Johnson's memorial out in Hibbing. And
Kevin Moore cried, that was it, I was gone.
Kevin Moore did his speech.
He was also the guy who stood outside the arena.
Yeah.
So, Kevin Moore did his speech in Hibbing and my jaw hit the floor. I don't remember a word that he said now, but at the time, I can just remember it. I just got hit by an emotional slap in the face. You know, it was just, and it was like, wow. This guy uses words that could start civilizations, quite frankly.
It's so true. And I'll never forget as well, I can't remember what game it was, but it was a game at home when Hugo Roy had a penalty shot and it was saved. And the first thing that Kevin Moore did was put his arm around Hugo and reassured him. And I think it might have been that same game. It might have been the Glasgow game at home in January when we crumbled and when we took a timeout, I think. And the first thing Kevin Moore did was went straight up to the netminder. And to have that conversation one-to-one, arm around, and you just see that and you think he is a people's person, and that it goes far, that weighs more heavily on you, I think, as a person.
That extends beyond the team as well, so you even see it where he literally claps mascots off the ice and tells them that they've done a good job. He stops in the middle of the street in Belfast when Beck screams Kevin at him. I was sort of like, I'm really not, I'm not used to people getting me in the street. Do you know what I mean? Just a genuinely nice guy. Dare I use that term? Nice.
Oh no, it's allowed. It's allowed. It's allowed because the guy has proved himself. As you know, he's not just a nice guy. That's the thing. Sorry, Beck, you wanted to come in?
I was just going to say, he's also had to have those difficult conversations, those difficult interviews with the fans as well, where he's had to maybe ask for our sort of continued support when the team wasn't necessarily playing as well as we'd hoped them to play. And I suppose he asked us for that support, and actually he's returned that with how they've been playing in recent times as well, kind of thing.
Yeah. I think we knew it was coming. We knew some results were coming. But I think we needed that reminder along the way. And every time I think we needed that reminder, I think Kevin Moore was perfectly placed. He just seemed to be the guy who had the right words.
I like the fact, using your words, not against you, but using them, is when you said, I would follow that man into battle. And I think, do you know what? There is generally not many people on this earth I would do that for.
Yeah.
But that man, yeah, mate, sign me up. Don't care where, don't care when. I will follow you.
Almost like a call to arms, and everybody was like, yes, we're there, Kevin.
Yeah, so anyway, if Omar Pasha happens to be listening, I think you all know, certainly around this table and certainly the wider table down the end, the gentlemen who are listening, I think they probably agree with us that when we say, get that man signed back up. Get Kevin Moore behind the bench, please, because, yeah.
Back of that, it's quite good that we've got a coaching like team,
yes,
as well, because I think obviously when Corey Nielsen was our coach, when he was first, it was player coach to begin with, but he didn't have anyone else. And then we got in Rick Strachan, and then obviously we had a lot of success. And then after that, when we had, oh God, Richard Omaz, I don't think he had anyone else, or maybe Rick Strachan was still around a little bit. He kind of wasn't there and then was there. And then Tim Wallace, Tim Wallace, and then Gary Graham. Yeah, I knew that was coming. It was in my head as well. I wasn't even there. I just know the song.
Yeah, yeah. I think most of us know the song.
I feel like I said his name wrong.
but Mark Matheson, I think, came in because didn't we get rid of Gary Graham? And then, you know, or did we get rid of Tim Wallace, I think, maybe, and Mark Matheson came in, whichever it was. We didn't kind of have this coaching staff to begin with. But you look at the success that Belfast had with a coaching staff, and you think that's what we need to do. And now we've got it. It's crucial that we keep it.
Yeah. Honestly, Belfast have got more suits behind their bench than they have players. I mean, it's...
I don't feel like I should say this, actually. But not on this podcast.
It's not the worst thing you've said on our podcast, mate. Let's be right about this. You were responsible for our first expletive warning, mate. So I'm just putting that out there.
It was appropriate and it was needed.
It was appropriate at the time, I have to say. Yeah, that's a bit of an in joke. You'll have to listen back several podcasts to pick that one up, I'm afraid. I've lost my train of thought. Yes, so yeah, having the coaching staff as a unit. So when we hired Gary Graham, he was obviously very upfront from the start that he probably wouldn't have an assistant coach, or maybe he'd work with, a junior team or a junior coach or some up and coming. And that never really seemed to happen. So, it was an odd sort of time, because we've gone from coaching staff working as a unit to having one man alone who, with one man's opinions and one man's thought processes and one man's systems. And it must have been very difficult for Omar Pasha to not stick his nose in at that point, I would have thought. Because, that was the first year that Omar Pasha was not a coach. And it was the first coach that Omar Pasha had employed. So, I suppose Gary Gray must have said all the right things to just, for Omar to let him do his thing. So the difference between Gary Graham and what we've got now is just miles away. I mean, if you think of the interim, Corey Nielsen came back, halfway through the season. First thing he does, hello, Rick. Do you fancy coming out of retirement, mate? For old time's sake or whatever it was. But Corey Nielsen knew he didn't want to, or he knew it wasn't the right thing to do it on his own.
But there was also some continuity between last season and this season with that. So Corey brought him back, and somewhere along the line, somebody said, we want to keep Rick and bring him into this season. So therefore, we've still got that bridge. We've still got, that something or somebody that knows how this organisation works and should work. Wow. And the league works. And... Yeah.
Okay, you shall not pass.
Gandalf. Oh my God, Rick. I don't think he's a Gandalf. I mean, come on.
Look, how many nicknames can we have for Rick Strachan? I mean, look, I've already called him Bill Turner. So, we've talked about the players. We've talked about. Talked about the coaching staff. I mean, the last season and a half, nearly two seasons, since Omar Pasha's come to the Panthers, there have been a lot of changes in general. So, I mean, me and Zara were talking about this earlier while we were up having dinner. The game last week against Guildford, the £9 game, the £9, all the tickets were £9. That place was packed. The arena was packed. That would never have happened in the Gary Moran era. Not that, I'm not going to sit here and speak ill of the dead, but it's not an initiative that would have ever come up in that sort of time period.
I think it's the same with the off-ice stuff as well. So, like, the social media, just seeing the players in a whole different light. Like, a lot of, the TikTok, Instagram, you see all the players connecting, having a laugh, being a team. And, like you say, that would never have happened in the Moran days. But I think it's made a massive difference from a fan perspective to see that side of things. And it does make you feel a bit closer to the team and sort of the organisation, because you're seeing the background stuff as well as the on-ice stuff.
Yeah. Although it would be nice to get on the quiz on the quiz night.
We tried several times.
Yeah, so bigger capacity on the quiz night. Come on, guys. Sort it out. Yeah.
It's the same though with the family tickets he's bought. We've got family tickets, we've been
bring your friends if you've got season tickets, just added benefits that they've brought in with those sort of things.
Go on.
I was just going to say, the match night experience as well is great. I do love it when they pass the pizza around. I mean, I know they don't have a pizza in the box, but...
I was like, there's a pizza in that box, that's going to be mangled by the time it's on. And it's only after that, like, oh, it's a token.
And the bongos. Oh, man, Ken, if you listen to this, can you please just get one of us on the bongos?
We're ready.
We are so ready, but...
I was nearly on the bongos once, but it was the row behind me. And
they didn't do it very well.
No, they didn't do it very well. They know who they are.
Shout out for Frankie and Steve. Poor show.
So just to bring us back a little bit. So I think one thing that's definitely worth mentioning, I think the whole regarding the match night, the media and everything, I've got two things I want to say, and I'm not sure which one I want to go with first, but I think the whole atmosphere around the organisation has meant that Ken Feast has got his mojo back. Because two seasons ago it was difficult getting the atmosphere, getting people going, and I don't think, but when Ken has got his infectious enthusiasm going, it's difficult to not go along with it.
Yeah, like when we was at GB, and you know what, we're all just bouncing off one another, and he's so good at fan interaction. Like, give that man a boost every time.
Boost every time.
For me, that's when I think things started turning. It was actually, this is what we can do in our arena. Because we had the GB games, that week-long interaction. They were using the Jumbotron. There were a lot of things that were done. And Ken was a massive, massive part of that. So then to have the GB fans facing him, like the core of us facing him, and literally bouncing off each other, I think that was then like, this is what can be done, and that's been replicated quite a lot.
Yeah, so the other thing that I wanted to say is that the difference now to, I mean, even 2 years ago, is that now there is a media team. So, you know, Chris Ellis is a very experienced broadcaster, but he knew he couldn't do it on his own. So he's done the double, because he's gone and poached Sophie from Sheffield, and he's also brought Jono Bullard in, who we all know. We've spent years drinking with Jono, but we know that he knows what he's doing. So each of them have got their specialties, and they work really well together. Go on, sorry, you are chomping at the bit.
I am, because I can't tell you how pleased I was that somebody had recognised Jono from the Panthers organisation. It has taken years and years for somebody to go, actually, Jono, do you know what you're talking about? Come on board. And that was, for me, I was a bit like, do you know what? He's a fan. First and foremost, Jono is a fan of the Panthers.
If you've ever listened to the commentary, and just listen to his Sheffield commentary, watch him explode when we score. I mean,
yeah, so that for me was just one of the key things, that you just pick that out and go, yeah, I was so happy with that decision.
And I think it's also because as well, especially social media got up amazingly tenfold. At one stage, even I sat there and was like, I could do a better job than the person doing it right now. But this year, I haven't even got that feeling. Like, I look forward to going on TikTok and being like, oh God, what have they said this week? And then following, like, the missuses too, because, you know, with great respect to some of the missuses. Walsh's missus, Samantha, I think her name is. Love following her. And everything's just so, like, refreshing this season. It's like,
the way they introduced Luciani to the team. Just things like that. Those little announcements.
Yeah,
that was... And like I nearly swore there. That was class.
That was the dogs.
Yeah, that was full on the dogs. What's it? Because just the way it all got us involved, and our little group chat afterwards was buzzing afterwards. Just because everyone was just like, "Did you see that?" Like it was just so well done. Really well done.
Yeah, there's some very clever stuff being done on the social media, and I think we're all a lot more engaged. I think we can definitely say that.
That's an interesting point, because before then the social media, I think there was a big gap between us and the fans, because I don't think it helped to run the social media before, blocking fans and not being very helpful to us, and the gap gets bigger and bigger, but that gap's well and truly closed, and you can tell it in every area of the club, the social media, even the commentary with Jono, and even the match night experience with Ken. Every single person is playing their part, and that's why I feel like we're so much more connected to the club now, which is great.
I mean, we're so, I think even last season, we kind of, you know, we kind of had that feeling, because all of the people that we've talked about were invested, they were in place, they were engaged, and they were getting on with the business of running a hockey club, you know, much better than their predecessors. That was the goal. That should always be the goal, that you run things better than the people who did it before. And I think probably the only thing that could have connected us more is what's happened this season. Not that we wanted it to happen. Not that, I mean, good God, I would give a kidney for Adam Johnson to still be on this team, you know. But the only way you were going to get us more invested was that. I don't really know how else I can say it, and how many different ways I can say it, or how well else to articulate it.
It's also how the club handled themselves.
Yes.
The days after, the weeks after, and every single thing they did, they just got on point and they communicated and everyone's invested. And to be honest, we don't want much as fans. We just want you to compete. We want the players to compete, and we'll be there. And I feel like we all saw it as well. We could see how much they were struggling on the ice, you know, the months after. And now we can see them. And do you know what? One thing I love as well is in the interviews with Jonathan Parise, how much he talks about the main thing being that the players are smiling again. And that's so great that he touches upon that all the time, because you can see it, how, you know,
the club, it was looking after the players after what happened. Like, the club kind of came second. Like, it was literally the mental health of the players, and like you say, how they communicated everything, that's what was key. The communication in an unprecedented scene that is no one's ever experienced. Like you say, how the club handled themselves, the way they communicated with the fans, and what they did was incredible.
Well, one of the things that I that will stick with me is when we came here for the memorial service, and we're all queuing up around the concourse, nobody cared how long that queue was. But one thing that I remember as clear as day, there were people walking up and down that queue handing out leaflets, you know, crisis leaflets, and saying, if you need to talk, these are your resources. And right down to that was the smallest thing amongst all the everything else that the Panthers did while the eyes of the world were upon them, and they did that.
And have continued to do all season by the people that they've had dotted around in the foyer, things like that. I think it's just there. It's just, it's ever present, and it's not unnoticed that they've carried on doing that.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, I think they recognise that the mental health of their players will be linked to the mental health of the fans, that everybody's going to react differently to it. You'd expect that the people who were there would feel it most strongly, but they're going to feel, you know, the same sort of emotions, and there's going to be the same issues that maybe crop up in the fan base that have cropped up in the team. So that, you know, it mirrors, doesn't it?
And I think it's interesting, because I've had discussions with people that are Panthers fans but haven't spent a great deal of time in the arena this year, and basically did not understand or recognise the impact that has had on the fan base and the team. So when you have previous conversations about how a team is performing and you get the usual comments, that was ever present, but actually, because they've just failed to recognise that, and I think because they haven't been there, they can't understand that.
No, most definitely. Right, ladies, we've had some lovely discussion. I think this has been wonderful. We must do this again sometime. I mean, I'm saying this like we don't actually do this every week and around this very table, but this has been wonderful. Thank you for suggesting it, Gemma. I mean, this is actually all your fault. But yes.
I'll happily accept that, Richard.
As I mentioned earlier, myself, Ant and Adam, we're going up to Dundee. We will probably be podcasting. We are actually being accompanied by Becky and Zara. So there's every possibility that now they've broken the seal, they might join us. So who knows? I don't know. Maybe we... maybe we've found some new podcast panelists. I don't know. Watch this space. We'll see how we go. But anyway, until next time, thank you very much, Gemma.
Peace out.
Becky.
Thank you.
And to Beck.
Thank you.
Zara.
Thank you very much.
And Zara.
Thank you.
Well done. No expletive warnings. Thank you, ladies. It's been a pleasure. And we will see you next time. Thank you.